Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time together as our church family. If you're here today, you are family. You are adopted as part of our family. After service, we go downstairs. Our ladies have already got the coffee going and treats and time of fellowship. No Sunday school today. We don't have Sunday school in the summertime, so just time of fellowship and coffee, and then you can be on your way for the rest of the day. Looks like a beautiful summer day, a little warm for some, but I keep saying it's better than 20 below. I don't like winter. You all know that by now, and summer's way too short. We have some good announcements today. Audrey's surgery went fine. She had a partial knee replacement, semi-replacement, whatever you call it. I probably have a technical term for it. Julie is doing fine. We praise the Lord for that. Jeffrey is doing better. He got good reports from his tests from his doctor, and we have some people to pray for. We need to continue to pray for Gail. Need to continue to pray for Faith, that her healing is complete. She's going to be taking a trip in the near future, and so a complete healing would be just a blessing for her. I have a testimony this morning, but before I give my testimony, I wanted to also give testimony of one of the folks who are here today. I'll let him give his full testimony when he feels led to do that, but he had been talking to a lady over a period of weeks, asking a simple question. Have you ever thought about Jesus in your life? And over time, he asked that question again, and she said, I'd be interested. And so they prayed together, and she became a Christian. She was born again into the kingdom of God. And I share that testimony so that you can be encouraged that we are active in the Lord and God is active. He is seeking people. He loves people. So the testimony that I have is I've been helping John a little bit over the summertime, and I was at his house and got to talk to his neighbor, Tim. Now, that name should sound familiar because we prayed for Tim. He's been dealing with cancer. I don't know. I think this is his second or third bout with cancer. Recently, he was diagnosed at stage 5, which I didn't know there was such a thing, but he explained to me that at stage 5, you're done. You're over with. And then he tells me, we spent about 25 minutes together talking about the Lord. He tells me that he's been reading his Bible and he's been praying, and the Lord has healed him from stage 5 cancer. The last test he got, he is in remission, and the doctors are confused. And he wanted me to relay to you his thanks for praying for him, for joining with him in prayer for this episode. He is just on fire for the Lord. He is just so excited, not just about the healing, but how good God is, how he has discovered how good God is. So that's our announcements this morning. with one correction. Mike made a mistake again. The hymn for our communion time is 558, and I'll announce it again at that time so we don't get lost. And when we sing that hymn, we will sing verses 3 and 4 first, and then come back to verses 1 and 2. We'll sing verses 3 and 4 for the distribution of the Lord's body. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 for the distribution of the Lord's blood. So I'd like to begin this morning from Ephesians. Starting with verse 14, this is after Paul talks about getting our act together, knowing what our gifts are, so that we can give our gifts to the body of Christ to build each other up. And then he goes on to say, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, we will be speaking the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work." Our opening hymn is number 18, "God, We Praise You." Join me in prayer, please. Our Lord Jesus, we honor you today. We honor you for the testimonies that we can share of your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, but we know that the glory goes to you because even though we pray, you are the one who answers. We invite you to be with us today, minister to our hearts, encourage us, give us joy and peace for each day and for this day. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. We give you glory, our Father God. We honor you, Holy Spirit, who lives within us and allows us to be able to live the life for the glory of God. Through that name, that is above every name, the precious, holy, sanctified name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning to you all, the beautiful morning that it is that God has made and blessed us with lower humidity. Our first lesson this morning is Psalm 128, and it's found on page 472 in your Pew Bible. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. In our second lesson is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, and that is found on page 862 in your Pew Bible. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become transformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And amen, and may the Lord bless the hearing of his word this morning.
I was reminded this morning, and as Kathy read Psalm 128, your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. And I was thinking of Logan visiting his mom, Amy, this morning. I don't know. Olive shoots, I have no idea what they look like, but Logan is tall. This morning, our reading from Kathy read from Romans. We will look at this a little bit this morning because it deals with the Holy Spirit. This morning is opportunity for us to give our tithes and offerings to the Lord on Communion Sunday. Our offerings go to our Benevolence Fund, which helps out folks who are in need. Within the last 2 weeks, we did have an opportunity to help a couple who had come up here from Kansas, or what, a state near Kansas, central United States, and needed gas money and food to continue their journey up to the Tower area to try to secure a home. And the week following that, the lady was going to file for disability in the state of Minnesota. So we were able to help them out on their journey. And that was a blessing, and that's what the Benevolence Fund is for. So I'd like to ask Roger to come forward at this time. We'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. If you want to give an offering to the Benevolence Fund, you can mark your check or you can put it in one of those little envelopes that are in the pews. Let's pray together. Lord, it is such a blessing to be able to be your children and to walk the walk, to be able to bless others, to be able to reach others, to be able to pray for others. Our lives are yours, and we enjoy serving you. So we give with hearts of gladness and joy and love, and we thank you for the privilege through Jesus. Amen. I could do music for you, but you wouldn't want it, so... Let's stand and sing our blessing to the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning in our time of prayer, as I mentioned, let's continue to pray for Gail, expecting a relief from what she's experiencing, which the doctors apparently aren't sure of. Continue to pray for Linda, although she says she's feeling fine, still feeling fine today. Okay. Through, again, something the doctors don't know what's going on. And continue to pray for Faith. I'd add one more thing this morning. Just got an email yesterday, that the All Church Sunday on Labor Day weekend, first weekend in September, is a go, and it will be held at Rock Ridge High School in their performing arts theater or whatever it is. I don't even know what you call it. You know what it is. What high schools have for all their presentations. Pretty nice place. Some of you have been there for some of the musical performances. It holds about 800 people. The last couple of years, All Church Sunday, where about 20 churches, 24 churches, close their doors and come to this service together, brothers and sisters in Christ. Last 2 years, we've had about 700 people attend. And so I'd ask you to put that on your calendar, and we'll begin to pray for that, that it be a blessing to all of us who attend, but also a blessing to our community. Those of you who know me know that it is one of the things in my heart that the community see that we are not arguing and divided. We are one in Jesus, despite the fact that we have differences. Differences are fine, but we love the Lord from all sorts of churches. And some of you know my testimony and how I've worked side by side with a Catholic priest, an Episcopal priest, brothers and sisters from all sorts of denominations, and found that faith isn't restricted or limited. God is good, and He has people everywhere, sometimes secret agents even, that we don't even know about. Other prayer requests this morning that we should lift up to the Lord. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Wisconsin had some storms.
Yeah, and that one was in that Appleton area.
Okay. Any other prayer requests that you can think of? All right, let's pray together. Father God, we come to you through your Son, Jesus. We come to you because your Holy Spirit is within us, and that is our communication link with you. We are one with you through your Spirit. We are one with you through your Son. We, first of all, pause to give you praise and thanks and glory for the good things that you do. We thank you that your entire mission for earth is to reach people and bring people into your kingdom to be with you, and all of your goodness and all of your righteousness and all of your holiness. We thank you for that plan and for the hope that we have, because as we've lived down here on this planet, it is really messed up. And we look forward to a time where you rule everything, and everything is peace and love and joy and righteousness and truth. We have committed our lives to you through your Son, Jesus, because we believe that is who you are, and that is your plan that you are driving toward. And you are reaching people to call them to be your children through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. for you and for all that you've done. To pay the price for us, we honor you because you are our life. You are our way. You are our truth. We thank you for the plan for All Church Sunday. We would pray, Father God, that you would speak to the hearts of pastors about closing their church services, allowing their people to attend. We ask, Father, that you would speak to the hearts of people to attend, that we might glorify you and declare to the community your truth, that though we are many, and though we are different, we are one in you, declaring the banner, the name of Jesus. Continue to help the folks as they make detailed preparations for that time. We ask you for open doors and for favor for some of the requests that are being made to be able to have communion, and for getting food trucks available for the time afterward. We ask that you'd put the details together. We ask you, Father, to continue to heal Gail. We ask for that through the name of Jesus, knowing that your power, your spirit, lives within her and can do construction work within her body for that healing. We ask you to continue to heal Faith, restore her to full health. We thank you for the testimonies this morning of your work in Julie's life and Jeffrey's life and Audrey's life and Tim's life. We thank you because it encourages us to give you glory and honor always. We ask you, Father, that you would help the Swansons in resolving this challenge. We ask that you'd give them favor with their insurance company, that it would be taken care of, paid for completely. We ask that you would lead them to the right folks to do the repair work, so that that repair work can be a blessing to them and done correctly. Our Father, we are so grateful for your goodness. You have made a difference in our lives through your Son and through your Spirit. We thank you and give you glory and honor forever and ever. And we commit ourselves to give you glory and give you praise from this time on forever and throughout all eternity. We honor you. You are God. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord. Thanks and honor and glory be to you through Jesus. Amen. Hymn number 641. the last stanza of the second verse, through my soul you breathed your spirit, planted your own image there. Father, as we study your word, open our hearts, open our spiritual eyes, give us your blessing today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Acts chapter 19. I'd like to read the first seven verses. And it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they replied, we were baptized into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and there were in all about 12 men. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? And all were baptized in the Holy Spirit, or all received the Holy Spirit. And you say, Mike, we did chapter 19 last week. Yes, but I warned you that we would come back to it. So I want to talk this morning about miracles. The characteristic of Jesus' life was miracles. That's why we pray. That's why we believe. That's why we see answers, because Jesus is a miracle worker. But some miracles we kind of don't think about as miracles, like heaven. Heaven is a miracle. God created miracle. We don't fully understand it, but we don't have to fully understand it because God's got it all under control. He's got it all made up. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go up there to do some building projects because we need more homes. More people are coming into the kingdom of God. I'm kind of thinking that building project is still going on because we get new people who accept Jesus every single day throughout the world. Another miracle that we sort of take for granted, the new birth. We don't fully understand it, but again, we don't have to. That's God's work. When we come to Jesus, God creates in us the new birth, the new creation, the new creature that is going to live forever and ever in heaven. So we don't have to fully understand it. We just have, it's simple. The gospel is simple. Just come to Jesus. That's it. And God takes care of pretty much the rest. Some miracles we use regularly, like prayer. Ever thought of that as a miracle? It is a miracle to be able to communicate with a God we cannot see. Through a Jesus who some people did see, but we can't because we're 2,000 years late for his walking here on earth. Prayer is a miracle to be able to communicate with God. Some miracles we don't pay any attention to. Some miracles we don't use, and if you're wondering what some of those are, you can read the book of Hebrews and the book of James, because they're full of lots of recommendations for our lives, incorporating additional miracles. Some miracles are misunderstood. For example, like healing, signs, and wonders. We think healing, signs, and wonders are for us, and in a sense they are. But the Word of God tells us that the real reason, the big reason for healing, signs, wonders, and miracles is that God would be recognized. God would receive glory. That's why I've often said, yes, we compliment ourselves for praying, but we need to praise God because He's the one who does the work. We ask, He answers. He's the one with the power, and He should get all the glory. So today we run into one of those miracles that is not really well understood. In fact, this passage and several other passages in the book of Acts that we've already read get argued about, a lot of theological theories about, and so forth. And I'll just let you know this morning, you're safe, because we're not going to become Pentecostals today. But the Holy Spirit is real. And the Holy Spirit does come upon people. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. Do those words scare you? Baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because we've attached that sort of the Pentecostal movement or the charismatic movement or something like that. Well, don't be afraid of those words, because John the Baptist used those words in all four Gospels, saying that he who comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And in one of the Gospels he says, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now that part I haven't quite figured out yet. Jesus used those words as well, that we believers would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's not be afraid of the words. The Holy Spirit is the point. So what's the problem with Paul's question to these believers? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? Two things to note. In verse 1, Luke records that these people were disciples. These are born again 12 guys. Paul affirms that. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? And we go, wait a minute. Why is Paul asking this question? Doesn't he know that when you become a believer, you receive the Holy Spirit? I'm amused at this, because as I did the study and have participated in numerous arguments, theological arguments about this whole thing, so I had to find out, you know me, inquiring minds have to know. So I took a look at this in the Greek, and it astounded me. So, let's celebrate your birthday. First, an introduction. You're going to receive gifts. Now, I know, today, nowadays, maybe we don't give gifts, but today, just pretend. It's your birthday, you're going to receive gifts. Receive. That's the word Paul used. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? You're going to receive gifts. Someone comes and puts the gift down on the table. Have you received it yet? Yeah. It's there. It's given. So you pick it up. still wrapped. Have you received it yet? It's given. You've picked it up. You carry it away to the chair where you're sitting. It's been given. You've picked it up. Now you've taken it to be yours. Have you received it yet? This is the quandary of this word in Acts chapter 19. So I went to Merriam-Webster Dictionary and looked up receive. Do you know that receive, the word, has 13 different meanings in the English language? So we use receive for lots of different things. The gift is given. I could say, I received a gift. I picked it up. I could say, I received a gift. I carried it over to my chair. I could say, I received the gift. That's the English. Receive is for all of those. The Greek language breaks receive into 17 different words. One word for the gift being presented, one word for picking it up, one word for taking it with you, one word for opening the package, and on and on and on and on. Breaks it into 17 different words. Well, which word is this one? This is amazing to me. This Greek word used here is lambano. You don't care about that, what the word is. But what the Greek word here means is to take hold of, to receive from another, to take therefore what is given, to receive it, and take charge of it, what is delivered over to you as it is your own. This Greek word isn't for the gift being given, isn't for picking it up, isn't for carrying it over, isn't for unwrapping. This gift that you have now received at your birthday, you've unwrapped it. Here's the question. Do you like it? Are you going to use it, or are you already thinking about regifting? Or how about the Christmas decorations that are in the attic? Are those this Greek word? No. This Greek word specifically refers to, have you actually recognized that the gift is yours, or in our spiritual sense here, have you actually recognized that the Holy Spirit is in you? And of course, their answer is, we never heard there's such a thing. We haven't heard about that. And so what Paul continues to do, you see here, is he teaches them, prays for them, and all of a sudden, God affirms the Holy Spirit is in you through the speaking of tongues and prophesying for these folks. And that still happens today. Happened during the charismatic movement. It's still happening today around the world. We hear stories from our missionaries overseas about these kind of very events. So what is clear? What is clear is that when you become a believer, and you all know this, the Holy Spirit is part of the package. So let's go back to the gift metaphor. You come to Jesus and you receive Jesus into your life. He comes in, right? Fully, completely, Jesus is in me. But you walk out of the room. Did you remember to pick up the Holy Spirit before you left? Did you remember to pick up the gift? Did you remember to take the gift with you? You don't have to worry, because the Holy Spirit came with the package called Jesus. It's a package deal. Now, the question after that that Paul encounters here is, do you realize the Holy Spirit is with you? Do I realize the Holy Spirit is with me? Every day, every minute, all the time, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God here today while the Father and the Son are seated on their thrones in heaven. Jesus told us that. It's a good thing that I go away. And you remember the disciples' response? No, it's not. Jesus said, it's a good thing I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. Now that has annoyed me, confused me through my years, of course, because I really, really, really would have liked to have been in Jerusalem, in Israel, for those 3.5 years and walked with Jesus. I really would have. But Jesus' opinion is different. Something better is going to happen because he goes to be with the Father, and that is the Holy Spirit. And that's this encounter here with Paul and these 12 guys. So we know that believers receive the Holy Spirit at the new birth. We also know that the Holy Spirit can influence us through our lives. Some of you have encountered those situations. Healing, for example, is a ministry of the Holy Spirit here on earth. That's why we pray to the Father through the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit here present to do that healing. And no, I'm not going to get into all theological discussion about that. We also know that the Holy Spirit anoints people for special events. We have heard, again, testimonies, and I really like when I go visit our missionaries when they come up into our area, because every single time I hear testimonies of a special anointing of the Holy Spirit in action in their lives. Perhaps you've experienced that. I've experienced that. Believers also receive the Holy Spirit to develop the fruit of the Spirit in us. You know, our character. He's got an ongoing project in us, doesn't he? Because we are not perfect. And so he works on us daily to help us to become more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit brings power. That's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. That is why we pray, because we believe that the very power of God, through his mechanisms, I apologize for that word, because really it's through his person called the Holy Spirit. God is real. And I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but I certainly have. I've come to find that no matter what I'm doing, I can ask the Holy Spirit through Jesus, I use the name of Jesus, for help, for wisdom, for answers. So Paul's question here, in Mike's version, Paul's question here to these disciples is, you got saved. Did it click? Do you realize what happened to you at that moment? And their answer is, come on, Paul, tell us more. And Paul's ministry through his entire life was to go around and tell people more and more about the Holy Spirit. People ask me, have asked me through the years, how do you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? And I've learned two sort of tips. One is, usually, I'll say, in my life, all of the time, The Holy Spirit is not what I plan to do for the day. It's an interruption to my plans. God shows up, bam, Mike's eyes open wide. Whoa, I didn't see that coming. What a blessing. Roger and I were talking about, he saw a sand hill crane. Boom, out of nowhere. A blessing from God just shows up on the radar screen. The second tip, probably the most important, the work of the Holy Spirit is people. God is in the business of people. This whole earth is going to be pulverized or whatever is going to happen, burned up, I suppose, is the scriptural term. God's job is reaching people. You, me, every day. God's job is work in our lives and work through us to reach people. This morning we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. God is present in this sacrament because His Holy Spirit is present in this sacrament. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And in Revelation, the first chapter, verses 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has released us from our sins through His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you turn in your hymnals to number 558, that is the correct number. This hymn will be our prayer and introduction into the ministry of the Sacrament of Holy Communion this morning. We will sing verses 3 and 4 first. I've got it figured out on the digital hymnal that the music will continue while we celebrate the taking of the bread. And then we will celebrate through receiving the blood of the Lord after singing verses 1 and 2. And if I've done the digital hymnal correctly, the music will continue while we do that as well. For we all This your body, Lord Jesus, we take and receive from you. Of the Lord, take and eat. Verses 1 and 2. Dear Jesus, your blood shed for us, we receive as from your hand. In your precious name, Lord, amen. Precious blood of Jesus, shed for you, shed for me. Let us celebrate and receive together. Our Lord Jesus, precious Savior and Lord, we receive you every day. You are our Lord, our King, our love, our life, our hope, our faith. Thank you for being real to us. We honor you. And through you, Lord Jesus, we honor our Father, your Father, who has become our Father. We honor you through your Spirit, who lives within us, sealing it all in the name that we have just celebrated, the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And if you'd turn in your hymnals to the final hymn, and let us stand and celebrate together. Hymn number 485. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus.
Thank you.
that's a better ending to the digital hymnal. So I hope that you really could get it, that the Holy Spirit is this power of God that lives in us. And if not, my apologies, because Mike has a tendency to make things more complicated than they really are. So let's bless each other in the name of Jesus. The Lord.